Are Haines Assembly and Committee meetings getting more contentious? And a barge line hopes to expand its service in Southeast. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. In the second time in 4 weeks, Haynesboro police officers have been called to assembly committee meetings to help maintain order. Haynes Interim Police Chief Simon Ford said his presence was requested by borough staff at a Ports and Harbor Advisory Committee meeting on May 20th. It turned out that meeting did get contentious when harbor users talked at the meeting, criticizing harbor staff and operations, but Ford did not have to intervene. And on Monday, during a daytime meeting of the Personnel Committee, Ford said dispatch received a call for an officer to come to that meeting. Assemblyman and committee member Steve Vick said he made the call partway through the meeting. On the agenda for the Personnel Committee was discussion of the borough manager's contract. Vick said assembly and committee members were expecting to discuss language in the contract, but it seemed some members of the public had the impression the meeting was about manager Mark Ernest's performance and if his contract should be extended. The assembly actually decided in January to extend Ernest's contract until 2014 after he received a satisfactory performance evaluation. The assembly at that meeting also decided to send the contract to the personnel committee to review its language. But on Monday, Vic said there were about 15 people in the audience and several spoke about Ernest's performance, asking the committee to not extend his contract. Vic said some comments were personal and emotional, and as committee chair Joanne Waterman asked speakers to either stay on topic or sit down, they only got more vocal and emotions were heightened. Vic said at one point Waterman told a speaker if they didn't calm down, she would have to have them removed. It was then that Vic said he realized there wasn't anyone there who could help the committee enforce that, if necessary. So he called the police department next door to the assembly chambers and asked an officer come sit in on the meeting. The officer did not intervene, but Vic said his presence helped calm emotions and keep the meeting moving forward. The police chief traditionally attends regular assembly meetings, both as a member of borough staff and as a sort of sergeant at arms. But Chief Ford said officers have not normally attended committee meetings. Those are usually less formal than assembly meetings, although the chair of the committee can dictate how long or when public comments can be made. Borough Manager Ernest said on Monday he had previously requested an officer attend committee meetings if he knows a topic might be controversial or create heated discussion. He said calling the officer to Monday's meeting was not in response to a specific instance. It was just meant as a precautionary measure and visible presence. Ford said while it's been more challenging to maintain order at public meetings recently, he's pleased to see the increase in public participation in government. He just hopes that civility and order can be maintained in the process. A court case highlighting the issue of public access in Haynes continues, with one party now asking a judge for an injunction to allow the public access to the beach and ocean at Viking Cove. The citizen group Friends of Viking Cove is headed by Fred Einsbrook. He and his attorney, Joe Geldhoff, last week filed for a preliminary injunction in an ongoing civil suit against Mike Wald and Sally Anderson. An injunction is meant to stop an action immediately while a court case plays out. Einsbrook and Wald and Anderson have been involved in a civil case filed by Einsbrook nearly a year ago. The parties have not been able to come to a settlement, and a trial is set for that case in December. But in the meantime, Einsbrook is asking for an injunction to keep the couple from interfering with any historic access or established public use at Viking Cove, according to court documents. Anderson and Wald purchased the property on Viking Cove about 4 years ago and have since built a house on the site. A narrow gravel road cuts through their property. It's an easement leading past the cove and to other properties near Rutzeback Lake. Their property continues on the other side of the road to the beach. According to the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, private property and public beach property usually meet at the mean high tide line of a beach. The family posted a sign on the beach side of their property that reads, "Enjoy the beach." It asks that people not park on their property or leave boats or other items on their property. They've said the public is otherwise welcome to cross their property to reach the beach. Anderson said Tuesday the only person no longer welcome on their property is Einsbrook because of confrontations they've had in the past. Einsbrook contends the family is trying to hinder long-time recreational use and public access to the cove. He filed a civil suit against Walden Anderson, asking the court to recognize the long-term use and declare the public has a right to use and cross a section of the couple's property to access the cove. He wants the court to recognize that a prescriptive easement exists there because of historic use by the public. The suit was filed nearly a year ago. At first, attorneys for both sides said they hoped a settlement could be reached without a judge weighing in. But over the months, nothing has been settled. Last year, things got confrontational when Alaska State Troopers filed charges against Einsbrook for trespassing on the Walden Anderson property. Those charges were recently dropped. The district attorney in charge of the case told the Chilkat Valley News recently that staffing issues forced her to drop the case and that she hopes to prosecute the charges in the future. Preliminary injunctions have to meet certain thresholds, including if the party filing for the injunction is facing substantial threat or irreparable damage or injury if the injunction is not granted and before the case is settled or ruled on. In the filing, Geldhoff contends his client and the public are faced with ongoing and obvious harm by Walden Anderson's attempt to inhibit access rights and to use Viking Cove. The filing also says a preliminary injunction would help move along discussions to settle the case. Geldhoff includes affidavits from three local residents explaining how they have used Viking Cove for recreation and subsistence over the years. The couple and their attorney will have to answer the preliminary injunction, and a judge will likely take up the request in the next few weeks. A Sitka-based barge line hopes to return to serving Southeast by the end of the year. It depends on a shipping industry shuffle, where a much larger company is trying to absorb its chief competitor. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Samson Tug and Barge used to do a lot of business with loggers and mills around Southeast Alaska. But as the timber industry shrunk, the line's service area moved farther west. The Sitka-based company now carries cargo to and from Seattle, Prince William Sound, the Kenai Peninsula, Kodiak, King Cove, and Dutch Harbor. The list could expand later this year.
We started in Southeast. We still have our headquarters in Southeast, so why not be in Southeast? It just makes sense.
Corey Baggin is vice president of Samson Tug and Barge.
We've looked at entering the Southeast market over the years, but with two carriers in the region, there really hasn't been room for a third.
That number could shrink later this year. Linden Incorporated, which owns Alaska Marine Lines, is in the process of buying Northland Services Incorporated. The two lines handle the lion's share of cargo shipments to Southeast communities. Samson does some barging to and from Sitka. Baggin says the purchase allows her company to compete in other communities.
Our plans right now are to service Ketchikan, Juneau, Wrangell, Petersburg, all of Prince of Wales Island, and Metlakatla.
Northland's barge line will continue to exist as a Linden subsidiary, but operations will be combined in Southeast towns that both serve. The purchase has to clear a number of hurdles. Among the concerns, the combination could effectively create a monopoly. Linden CEO John Burdick says that's why his corporation is encouraging Samson's Southeast expansion.
There is a regulatory review process, and the state of Alaska wants to ensure that where there's competitive overlap between Linden and Northland, that there's alternative services available.
Burdick says buying Northland expands Linden's service area to western Alaska as well as Hawaii. But he says Linden's Alaska Marine Line subsidiary will not reduce Southeast port calls.
At a minimum, they'll receive equal frequency of service.
In terms of equaling what AML's doing now or what AML plus Northland's doing now?
AML plus Northland.
Burdick expects most Northland employees will either keep their jobs or find new ones with Alaska Marine Lines or Samson Tug and Barge. Baggin says her company will be hiring.
Eventually, we'll probably double our size. Probably have somewhere between 120 and 160 employees.
And will those folks be based in Alaska or a lot of them be out of Seattle?
Nope, most of them will be based in Alaska. We're going to pick up a few more people in. We're going to have to increase our warehouse size. We're going to have to increase the amount of space we're taking up for our yard. You know, we'll have to have more trucks and that kind of thing down here in Seattle. But most of those employees will be in Alaska.
Bagan understands her company will compete against a much larger operation. She says Samson will do that by providing personalized customer service.
We're not the big box carrier. We're not going to be the one that says, you better do it at this time, this way. We don't care how you want to do it. We're going to say, hey, what do you need? And we're going to do the best we can to come in and really work for the customers.
Linden and Samson expect the sale to be completed by the end of this year, and both say they'll be ready for a quick transition. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Visit our news section online at khns.org. We're always open to your comments and story ideas, and you can reach us by emailing news@khns.org. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Clequan. But we're more than just your local news. We also collaborate with other Southeast public radio stations to keep you informed of regional issues that affect us locally. We bring you these wider-reaching stories along with local news to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained. And we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.